We are continuing with this the series on business ethics and halacha, and today we're going to continue about the topic of honesty on interviews and resumes. Last 2 weeks ago, it was the first year we spoke about midvar sheker tirchak, about obviously lying would be inappropriate in any situation. But now we're going to discuss the issue of gnevas das, and this comes up very often when a person is being hired, very typical case is, at what point would one have to let the employer know that you plan to leave early Erev Shabbos in the winter, about all the holidays that you'd be taking. And other points, it's if it's considered gnevas das, of holding that information back, if it's not clear to the employer. Now, this particular shaila of not sharing this information about taking days off is not brought in the Gemara anywhere, but the concept of gnevas das certainly is, and we're going to speak about that general concept of gnevas das. And then we'll bring it back to apply to our case of when should one share with their employer about the various restrictions they have, maybe in kashrus restrictions, in terms of holidays, in terms of Friday. When's the best time to bring it up, and that's fair, that wouldn't violate the iser of gnevas das? So the Gemara in Chulin Daf Tzadidal tells us, number one, the Amar Shmuel says, "Aser lignov das abrios," is an iser to steal the das, which means to trick a person, a human. Vafilu daitel shel oved kochavim. Even to trick in such a way a non-Jew, it would be an iser as well. And the Gemara goes on to bring a maisa that comes up about a situation where, for whatever reason, a non-Jew wanted a shechted piece of meat, and turns out you had a treif piece of meat, and you say, they don't care if it's shechted or not shechted. For them, it tastes the same. There's no halacha. So you send them a treif piece of meat, even though they requested a shechted piece of meat. And the Gemara says it's aser to do that because they're expecting a kosher meat and they're getting a non-kosher meat. And that would be a violation of gnevas das, even though it's not going to have any nafka mina to them. They don't have to keep the halachas of kashrus. That still would be considered gnevas das, afilu daito she'oved kochavim. Gemara then gives some other examples where gnevas das, and I think people would, based on these examples, realize that it comes up a lot more often than one would imagine. So, the number one continues here in the Chulin, the Gemara Chulin, Tanya Haya Rabbi Meir Omer, Al Yisarev Adam L'Chaveru Lisod Etzlo V'Yodeh Bo She'eno Soed. You invite a guy to come over, though you know he's not going to come over. You have new neighbors that came into town. They have 15 kids, too much for you to handle. And you know they're going away for Shabbos. They say, you know what? We'd love to have you guys over for Shabbos. Would you come over? Oh, that's so sweet of you. We can't make it to Shabbos. We'll take a rain check. So that would be a violation of gnevas das, because you really didn't intend on inviting them over, but you knew this was a great way to make them feel good. And that's, they're going to think, oh, they must really be such friendly people, and they're machzik tova to you, Rashi says. So that would be a violation of a gnevas das. A similar case, the Gemara says, lo yarbelo betakrovas yodebo sheinu makabel. A guy's a wealthy guy, doesn't need your gifts or money, and you offer to give him a nice gift, whatever it might be, and he says, I really don't need that, but I really appreciate it. And you knew he wasn't going to accept the present from you, but you extended it to him anyways, knowing that he'll say no, so he thinks you're a really nice guy. So that's another example, and it will come up more often, not in that particular way, but gnevas das comes up a lot more than you would imagine. So we'll learn this year, hopefully, to become more sensitive to this particular issur. So if you jump now to the Shulchan Aruch says, number three, Hilchos Ona Umekach Taos, Oser Liramos Bnei Adam. It's forbidden to trick a person b'mekach u'memkar, when you're selling them a product, O lignov daitam, or to steal their das, trick them. Kigon im yesh mum b'mekcho tzarech lahodia lelokeach. You're selling a house, and you have a big hole in your floor, and you put a carpet over there. So you show the house around. Don't go in that room. I don't want no shoes in that room. All right, stay out of the room. So now that would be an Isser of Gnevas Das, because you know you're selling a property that has a mum, and that would be an Isser of Gnevas Das. So nowadays, this may not be applicable anymore, because if a person brings in an inspector to the property, he's going to check everything, hopefully thoroughly, so that's where you rely on. So you may not, as a seller, have to give that information. As a broker, this is very applicable. A broker selling a house, usually don't know much about the house. They ask you questions, and they're very quick to tell you what the, that's fine. You're sure you could build a third floor there. The attic's for sure big enough. No problem there at all. You have two extra floors up there. You'll be fine. No problem. So that's all, This is bichlal tricking, bichlal gnevas das. It's a tricky business being a broker, and anytime you're trying to make a sales pitch for any product, is a challenging thing of, you know, you don't want to, you know, tell them everything that's bad about it, and then they're not going to, you know, buy the product. So where do you draw the line of Gnevas Das, what's considered MS, what's considered Sheker? So I'm not going to deal with all these cases now, but just be aware, there is this concept of Gnevas Das, where you're selling a car, and your car was ruined in Hurricane Sandy, so now you sell it. It looks very nice from the outside, but little does he know that salt water got inside the engine, and now it's going to die in a few months from now. It looks great. That would be a violation of Gnevas Das. But then you always ask the question, what if they could do their own, you know, their own due diligence, and they could take it to the mechanic, and he could check everything out. Would that also be Bichlal Gnevas Das? So again, there is an Isser Mitzad selling it and giving a product Gnevas Das. Now, the Ritva writes in number 4, this doesn't only apply to selling an object. One might think, if I give the guy a gift, all right, so he didn't lose anything from this gift, so I give him he thinks he's getting a nice car, so I'm giving a gift as a car that's much older than he thinks. That's also Gnevas Das, because it's not about him not gaining what he's paying for. It's about tricking someone. Whenever you trick a person, Bedas, that's a violation, that's an Isser of Gnevas Das. So if you look to number 5 now. There's Machlokas.
There's no loss, in other words, if you're giving a guy a gift, if it's only where I can see a gray area, and there's everything else you're putting on the outer line. But if you give a guy a gift, which is in essence just something that he's receiving as chinam, he's not paying for anything, and he might think it's bigger than, you know, better it is, but it's still something that he didn't have before and now he has it.
Still, I'll give you an example. I'm sure many of you this week probably got some raffle tickets for bike-a-thons in a particular yeshiva, maybe those who sent to this yeshiva I'm referring to. My son this year said, I'm not collecting money for this year, because last year we got some nice product, and it was from China, and it broke in 2 days. So they're, you know, even though it's a gift, they're, you know, presenting it as a very chashuv gift. He thought he was getting, what was that game? I can't remember the game what it was. One of these, maybe the Fruit Ninja game or something. Fruit Ninja game, you thought, like, small portable thing. Fruit Ninja. It looked like a real Fruit Ninja on the raffle. It gets it. It's like a little Chinese lady saying, something really strange. And like after 2 days, it broke. So I'm not, you know, collecting money for a gift that's going to break. So they're presenting, that's a gift. But they're tricking the kids. I think that's a real Isser Gnevas Das. It's presenting as a real chush of a product. And even though they didn't really pay for it, it's still tricking the kids. It's Gnevas Das. Well, Trump will change it. He will? Okay, good. All right. If that's the case, my kids will be very, very happy with it. So, it's not about losing money. It's about a person expecting something and not meeting those expectations.
The keys of the house and the car, if they hire the inspector and the mechanic and they don't find it, to me it's a double if you're
right.
Tricking two people.
That's true. If you did it in such a way, I'm not sure, tricking two people.
Or is it... they're the expert, if they miss it, then you're fine.
Right, so I'm not sure. That's a great question. I don't know. They hired a... if I tell them every single problem in my house, no one's going to buy my house. Because the other house, they're not going to tell them what the problems are. So now... Yeah, so again, so it's very hard to be an Erech Hayid in the world of business, even in the world of real estate. I don't know. It's a good question. I don't know the answer to it. I'm not sure what point, how much you have to reveal... and what's considered mekachtas, what they could see on their own, what they could see from the inspector, what's hidden behind the walls. Do you have to tell them that, you know, your plumbing is, you know, 80 years old? It looks very nice. You did a new sheetrock. You painted it. There's no cracks. Everything looks great. But you just painted it last week, so everything looks brand new now. So I don't know at what point you have to tell everything, but just to be aware that there is an Isser Gnevas Das. And now the Rishonim argue whether the Isser of Gnevas Das is an Isser Deraisa, or it's an Isser D'Rabbanan. If you look at the Sefer Yireim, number 5. The Sefer Yireim, under the mitzvah of Lo Tignovu, he writes that, reading the bold, that nearly Lefarish, he quotes the famous Medrash that there's a Gnevas Mammon, the stealing of money, and then there's Gnevas Nefesh, kidnapping. So what the Sefer Yireim writes is, nearly Lefarish, to be Mammon, Lemute Nefashos. It's Gnevas Mammon, that's to exclude, there's a different Isser, that's called kidnapping, that's stealing Nefashos. Aval gonev das habrios b'mide d'mamon have b'chlal mamon ve'over al lo signovo. He says that when a person steals the das of an individual, even though there may not be a real loss, that's b'chlal the issa deraisa of lo signovo b'mamon. That's stealing mamon. Even though you're not taking anything, that's b'chlal the issa deraisa of lo signovo. That's what he says. And he goes on to bring a proof from Avshalom that he violated the Isser of Gnevas Das, but the Reim Paskins that there's an Isser Deraisa of Gnevas Das. the smack, Sefer Mitzvot HaKatan, number 6, he argues and says, V'yesh geneva acheres she'asu chachamim kigon geneva sadas aser, v'afil daitel she'akim aser. The smack doesn't think there's an Isser deraisa, he thinks there's an Isser derabanan. Okay, not so much of an afkamina. Maybe you could say if there's a case of a suffix, so suffix deraisa lechumra, suffix derabanan lekula. But in a simple case, there's an Isser no matter what, whether it's deraisa, whether it's derabanan, there is an Isser of gnevas das. The Bach says that there's two dinim. If it comes to a situation of selling a product, that's an Isser deraisa. But if you're inviting someone over, that's not a gift. You're inviting someone over knowing they're not going to show up to your house. That's an Isser Dirabanam. So either way, there's a bit of a range, whether it's a Diraisa or whether it's a Dirabanam. Now, according to those first couple Rishonim, it was clear that Gnevas Das is Bechal the Isser Gneva. It's a type of stealing. But look where the Rambam in number 8, where he puts this halacha. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Deis, which is very key here, Oser le'adam lehanhig atzmo bedivrei chalakos apitui. A person shouldn't be involved in arguments, in trying to coerce and convince and manipulate someone. Ve'oser lignov das habrios vafilu das hanachri. So where does Rambam put the halakha? Hilchos Deis, which tells us that what? What's Rambam's feelings about this Isser of Gnevas Das? That's not an Isser Gneva. It's an Isser, it's a Midara. We spoke last time, 2 weeks ago, about the Isser of Sheker. Is it Isser of Sheker, is that an Isser deraisa? Is that a losase? Or that's a midara? It's a bad quality. It's a person has a kas. It's no Isser kas per se. It's not one of the targ mitzvahs. But there's a midara to have anger. So there's a midara to have mishaker, to lie. So according to the Rambam, it's a midara to trick a person, the Gnevas Das. But it's not necessarily an Isser under the rubric of Gneva. So these are just some lumdis of whether how to categorize it. Now, in terms of the severity of Gnevas Das, the Tosefta Maseches Baba Kama, number 9, says that there's Shiva Ganavim Hin. There's 7 types of robbers. Harishon Shebekulam, the first, the number one amongst all them, is Gonev Das Habrios. So 2 things we see from this Tosefta. Number 1 is it's Bechlal Gneva. The Gnevas Das is a type of Gneva, not simply a Midara. But number 2 is we see, that's the first one, is the first one listed. It's pretty severe. And it could be for different many reasons why it's first listed. It could be it's listed first because everyone knows stealing money is usher. People don't think Gnevas Das is usher, they're not aware of it. So you have to put it high up in order to raise awareness. That might be why. It's very easy to violate Gnevas Das much more than it is to violate Gnevas Mammon. But either way, it's number 1 on the list of 7 types of Gnevas that there are, which seems to indicate on a simple reading, it's quite severe, the Isser of Gnevas Das. Now the Rambam writes, in number 8, I'm going back to number 8 for a second, the very last line he writes, Kol kayotze bo, va'afilu mila achas shel pitoi v'shel Gnevas Das Aser. Even saying one word, that's not truthful, one word that's manipulative, one word that tricks, that alone, that one word would be violation of Gnevas Das. So it's a very serious thing. It's a deraisa, perhaps, it's a derabanan, it's the top of the 7 types of Gnevas, and with one word alone, a person could violate the Isser of Gnevas Das. So I want to go through the rest of the time some interesting tshuvas of Rav Moshe, where he brings out this application where we find Gnevas Das that comes up, and then we'll bring it back from a beautiful sefer here I recently bought, how we apply this to an employee. Yeah. So we spoke about 2 weeks ago, we discussed the Isser of Sheker, Midvar Sheker Tirchak, and the Gemara says that there's a Heter for Shalom Bias. How exactly do you apply that? That we discussed 2 weeks ago. This particular case, Gnevas Das, if it comes to Shalom Bias issues, whatever Heter you have for lying seemingly would apply to this as well. But it's not a blanket Heter of lying, Chas V'Shalom, to a spouse, but it has to be understood with proper common sense.
So the Rambam was talking about intentionally deceiving someone through a lila of pitzoy or Gnevas Das.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes by not saying something, it also is a Gnevas Das because you just left out a certain detail.
That's a great point. So would one violate Gnevas Das by holding back information? So if I think the Shulchan Aruch addressed this. Look back for a second to the Shulchan Aruch, I think. So the Shulchan Aruch writes in number 3, just in light of your point, says Asr Laramos Bni Adam Bemekka Humemkar Ulignov Daitam Kigonim Yesh Mum Bemekka Tsarh Lahodil Lokeh. That if you don't say it, there's a violation. There's a requirement to share that information. I think you're right, from the Rambam, the Dik is correct. Maybe for the Rambam there wouldn't be such a violation, but the way the Mechaber paskins, there would be a violation to hold back any information that would be necessary for the Lokeh to know. So our Moshe is dealing with an interesting case. Many of us here would be fine to be very, very disturbing the following case, and we hope this doesn't happen at all. But our Moshe mentions in Choshe Mishpat Chelek Beisim and Lamed the following Shaila. Be'isr gnevas chuvos l'she'elos mi'b'chayni siyum she'oseh medina. Is it permitted to steal the answers to the questions, the regents, let's say, whatever standardized tests, whatever they have, what do they call it? Iowas? What do we have ours? What was
it?
Yeah, but we'll say, what do we have we have the Iowas. So whatever they were, in Jersey we don't have regions. We had the Iowas or something like that. So,
is
it, what?
When he was alive, it was the region.
Even in Jersey? I'm saying, in Jersey, we grew up with the Iowas.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, New York only. Yeah. So is it...
He was from New York.
Right, no, I'm just giving other examples that people from Jersey like myself would appreciate more. I don't appreciate regions. My kids aren't taking them yet, and I've never taken them. I've heard my friends always complain about the regions. So, so is it permitted? Is it permitted to steal the answers to the to these regents? Which is can't really ask or Moshe this question. But either way, they asked Moshe this question, and he answered as follows: Sheilaso amash shama. The question from what this person has heard, it should be yeshivos matirin le hatamidim lignov as a chuvos. They permitted the students will look the other way. I was letting you know, I'm not saying I was involved in this, but when I took my road test, my the driver, the student teacher, I guess, whatever his name is, the instructor, there you go. So he said, okay, I'm going to go inside to get some coffee. You take the test. And just, I'm putting the manual away in the glove compartment. And then he went inside. So it was there for me. I didn't use it. I don't think I use it. It's been a while. I don't think I looked at it. I think I studied well. It wasn't very hard of a test. But I imagine they said, you know, listen, okay, the tests are here, the answers are here. We're going to go to the teacher's room and then leaving it available. The doors will be unlocked. It's available for the Talmidim to take a look at the answers. So he heard about such a thing that, again, the Matirin la Talmidim lignovas atchuvos la sheilos mi bechini siyam sheosa medina called regents. Davar zeh aser lo rak medina de malchusa. Not only is it usher because you're going against the rules of the government, you have to follow the dina of the malchus dina, no question about that, which itself is only, not only, but to the rabbanim, but even on a din deraisa level. Needless to say, it's certainly gnevas das, because now you're tricking the government. That's gnevas das. Ah, they're not Jewish. So it's still gnevas das. But more than that, so we already see this is an example of gnevas das. Just to finish the tshuva, because the tshuva is interesting. So aside from the Isser of Gnevas Das, I'm reading the bowl now, jumping down a line. Elo dehu gam Gnevas Davar Mamish. It's stealing, it's real Gnevas, stealing an object. Deha kisha yirte leparnasaso b'meshach hazman lahashchi atzmo. So listen to this. He's not talking about stealing the tests and the answers. Later on, the guy wants to get a job. So b'meshach hazman lahashchi atzmo, he wants to hire himself out, get himself hired. Eitel echa lavod b'asakav, to work in a particular business, and wrote some Berov HaPamim B'misha Gamar Ha'itiv Limod of Dechol. I want to hire a guy who did well in school, who did well in college. Right. The guy shows me his resume, he shows me his grades, his GPA, Hu Yir Aloha Tuada. He shows him the certificate. This is my GPA. I was high honors roll, I was whatever other titles he could get in college. I got all these different things. And the guy thinks, oh, this guy's a brilliant guy. And so that's stealing of, that's it's a derisive, tricking the guy. And I'm going to read a little bit further, that I didn't bold this. Eich shegamar betov al smach zeh, kablu, they accepted the guy, gave him the job. Shezo gnevas mama mamash. So now you're stealing from the employer who's hiring you for X amount of dollars for the year, and you didn't deserve it. That's gnevas mamash. Jumping down.
In that case, yeah. You were hired under false pretenses, but the work that you're doing, you're still earning the money for the work. Unless you're doing a bad job.
Right, so granted, but still, when you accepting that job on those pretenses was an isser.
Right.
So even though he might be producing well, he might be happy with you, you still violate that isser initially.
Right.
Right. Was it that you've stolen the job from someone else who did actually pass? Is that
That's interesting. Who
That's the geneva that you took the job that you shouldn't have. The other guy should have it because he actually passed. And you only passed by cheating.
He doesn't say that. I hear that also. He's saying you're stealing from the business
right,
that they're paying you.
Is it really stealing because you're earning the money?
Right.
Okay. So what are you stealing? I don't know. You're stealing the job.
Right. So saying if you're producing well, so then you've earned that money.
Right. So
I hear. Then he writes, "V'gam she'aser l'shaker b'chol ofen." Certainly, as we spoke about 2 weeks ago, there's a prohibition of lying in any case. Av she'enu nogeya l'shum davar, deinu matlas mila d'rishar l'shanos. Even though it might not have any impact, and the guy asks, I remember they used to tell us for an interview, they ask to share a story about the sometime you felt a challenging moment, how you dealt with it. You can make up a story because they don't really care about the story. They care about how you interact and just trying to gain conversation and see how you talk to people. So that's not a heter to lie. It's not one of the three heterim we spoke about lying. It's not Masechta, Puria, and Achsanya. So you can't make up stories. That's not around. Now, even though it has no impact, there still is an iser to lie. Okay, and he goes on to say further here, should have put it in bold, but he says that some people also want a guy who knows the business and study well, knows the science of how it works, and whatever industry he's working in, the guys want such a person as qualifying. And the guy gives the false impression that he did so well in math, and the guy doesn't know anything in math, that even though he might do well on the job, he wants a guy who's motivated and who's successful. And therefore, it would be a violation of Gnevas Das, on top of being a violation of Gnevas Mammon, according to Rav Moshe. Okay. Yeah. Sure. So the Masorah, I'll share with everybody. What Masorah is those who were not Zocha to go to Queens College or YU for that matter. Masorah is a very nice way of saying the teachers have given the tests from year to year, the same exact tests. So if you have a brother, friend, sibling who was in a previous class from that teacher, it would give you the Masorah. This was the test last year, and just study from that test. And hear the answers. That's what we would call Masorah. I imagine the name came from YU initially and came over to Queens College, but is that permitted or not? So the way Rav Shech to Paskin in that case is, listen, the teacher, the professor, he's lazy. He's aware that's out there. He knows the kids are able to do whatever they do. He's being lazy. It's his fault. If he says some stipulation that you can't share the test or whatever the case might be, maybe it's a little bit different. But him giving tests from year to year, that just really shows his laziness, and there would not be violation of Gnevas Das. Now, to go online and, to steal someone's email and something like that, that would be a real mamish geneva. I know someone, I won't give too much information as to no one figure out who this is, though I don't think anybody other than maybe one person knows this person here. But a certain person had a relative who was a teacher in a school in some subject. And that, so the person's son or daughter would take the test from their parent and sell it to the kids in the school, and then make a lot of money, and the kids would all do well, and you know what I'm talking about? Good. Okay, fine. Anyways. Yeah, of course.
Have you, what about the credits that the yeshiva gives, for example? As an employer, I believe like they get some credits, which are real credits, and instead they're getting credits for Gemara, which of course is great, but it's not the same topic. So they come with like, yeah, I have that much credit. Is that something?
Well, I think the way, if you're talking about like college credits, so if the college willing to give credits, so that's going to be approved by a larger college board. So that would be all, to my understanding, that would be acceptable. Okay. Even though, right, Judaic areas, even though, Talmud might be under history, it might not be the history they would teach in Harvard, but the history that we would teach in YU, let's say, that would qualify. And all these yeshivas we learned in, it's all considered, from the perspective of an employer, that's some intellectual pursuit and there's value to it. So I would imagine as long as it's approved by whatever college board exists, then it would be acceptable. Now, if a person's playing games and they're saying, the guy went to yeshiva for 3 years and has credits for that, and he never went to yeshiva, that would be an iser. It has to be honest. But it can't be made up. Okay. Next case that Moshe is dealing with, he was asked to Shaila about Kvedim Shishaku Haktsavim Bidam Kidei Shisro Yafim. The butchers, apparently in some places, I don't know if this is still done or not, they would soak the liver in blood, so it looks better. I don't know. I never saw a liver not chopped, but I guess it looks live.
An older liver, I think, turns brown, and if it, this is more red.
So it looks better when it's red, apparently. Yeah. So I have only seen the chopped type. So okay. So anyway, they would make it look fresher, even though it wasn't really fresh. They'd soak it in red. It looks fresher. And selling the product within a later expiration when really the expiration should be tomorrow. So is that a violation of false marketing? Similar to any case where you would make something look better, an apple. You know, the apples look so nice and shiny, but it's not really the apple that looks shiny. They cover it in wax. So it looks shiny. It looks much more attractive that way. Is that considered a false advertising, false marketing? So that was the question that Rav Moshe was addressing. And Rav Moshe had said, reading just the bold here, those who are meshaken osam bedam ezeshaos, they would soak the liver in blood for a number of hours. Near leanias daiti, pashit she'ein b'zeh shum chashash, there is no chashash, deha darcho b'hadacha, kodem, hatzliya, mishum dam be'en shalav shekei nagu. So Moshe completely missed, now we'll see why in a second, he completely addressed a different topic. He didn't talk about the topic of the gneves das here, and the false marketing. It wasn't even a shaila for him. He was concerned with the Isser Dam. There's an Isser Deraisa to drink and eat blood. So he says, there's no problem with the blood because everyone soaks their, washes their liver off first. So and all the blood that they soaked in is not going to penetrate the liver. It's all going to be on the surface. So by simply washing it off, you'll be fine. And so the Shoal asks another question to Rav Moshe. He says, wait a second, but there still is the Isser of the way it appears. Isn't there an Isser Gneves Das? False marketing. So Rav Moshe writes in number 13, in response to that he says, "Ube'etzem misupakani im yesh b'kan af iser ona." Might be some level of iser ona here. Dein shorin habasa b'mayim she near shamin, because you can't take a lean piece of meat, soak it in oil, and make it look more plump and fattier. That would mean iser, the Gemara says. Now iser the rice of gneves das, so ona. So he says, "She'osa tevach ze kidei lenoso." When the Gemara says it's aser to soak a piece of mat in that meat in fat, it's not because of the appearance. It's because there's soaking in iser chaylev. Chaylev is a type of fat that's aser midaraisa. That's the concern here. But in terms of the appearance being fattier, there's no iser. Velo mitad iser ono v'gnevas das. Says Rav Moshe. Now you have to figure out when you apply this, when you don't apply this. But Rav Moshe Paskin, by soaking meat in fat, making it look fatter, soaking a liver in blood, making it look fresher, would not be a violation of Gneves Das. I don't know when would it be. If you're advertising something and looking a certain way, or the way they, oftentimes with frozen foods looks that way. Frozen foods, you buy in the frozen food section, and it looks so nice and fresh when they picture the baked ziti or whatever, the pita bagels or the french fries look so great. And you end up making it on your own. You follow the instructions exactly what they say. 450 for 25 minutes, and they come out soggy. And it's not the way it looks on the board, on the picture. So is that considered false advertising? So I don't know where you draw the line here. There certainly is a Isser Gneves Das of false advertising. I just don't know why this doesn't fall into that category of Gneves Das.
Everything is false today. Any advertising, anything. I've watched them spray paint grass. They look greener for a car commercial. In LA.
But it's cereal. The cereal box, that's not milk.
That's glue, right. Right.
All this stuff. The hamburger's not the hamburger.
So, but that's to me, that's fine. The glue, they're not selling the glue or the milk. They're selling the cereal. So that I'm okay with. They make it look nicer. No, but that's fine. No, they can make things look nice, but it's one thing to present something that isn't. They're not selling the glue or the milk, so that's fine. They also say, in the cereal box, not actual size or whatever. I always try to measure it, see if it works out.
Potato chips back, though, filled with air. It's like a fourth of the fat.
Yeah, I know. So certain cookies also. You have the box, and then the box is open. The bag is half the size of the box. You open the bag up, and then the cookies are half the size of the bag. So you're getting a quarter of the box that you're buying. So I once.
That's all according to weight. That's different.
I know, but still, but they present it as a big box, and you're getting this much. So you don't look to the weight. I'm buying the weight here. Okay, what's the weight? Let me get my scale out and see how much I'm weighing here. No one does that. So they're presenting in a certain way as a box. So I don't know if that's false advertising or not. That's a whole nother topic. That's our topic, I guess. But we're not talking about advertising. We're talking about presenting oneself as a mekach talis or not.
Rabbi Levin, yeah. The tour of Moshe's are not exactly clear. I mean,
in terms of
why they're not also.
Well, he's saying in the Gemara.
I don't understand.
In the Gemara, it seems that it's just enough.
The liver and the meat. The examples. I don't understand why it's not. Why
it's not possible. Yes, I'm not entirely sure either. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's a hard topic.
Yeah.
I see. That's a fair point. Meaning if you're, you know, I always tell my wife, if you see they're selling sodas on sale, like in front, there's a ton of sodas on sale, check the expiration date. Because usually anything on sale, usually it's expiring the next day or two. Check the expiration date. So if they were selling something that already expired and putting it on sale, that would be incorrect and probably usher. But you're telling us, no, the liver is still it's still good. It's not spoiled. You're just making it look more presentable. So it would be more like the case of the apples, where the apples are, to my understanding, they're covered in wax to make it look shiny. That's not false advertising. It's just making it more attractive. It's like, you know, the open sign. We're open. I have flashing lights. Is that usher? No, it's just bringing more attraction and to the person, to the store owner. So just making it look red and fresher just brings more attraction. It's not changing the price. The red juicy liver is going to be the same price as the brown liver. But they're both good. So that's probably a very good point.
Yeah, also, does everybody do it, or just like one or two guys doing it? I mean,
I thought that Moshe was saying that everyone was doing it
with
the
red. Yeah, so he said that which it's done. I'm not sure what the statistics are of how many people do this.
But that's going to be the reason. But, I thought that's what he was saying.
Right. I don't know if he said that, but it, certainly if everybody's doing it, so then that's everyone's doing the same thing. There's no one's monopolizing the market, the industry in any way.
If it's mutter.
Right. But it's an expectation. People would know this.
That's for then it's on the lokeach. Like you're going to buy a house, you know the real estate brokers are going to say whatever they want to sell it. The din is on you to.
Yeah, but if you're a new homeowner where you don't know these things, they don't really let you know that
car
you.
Car,
yeah.
Used car, anything, you know that you have to do
it. So, yes, that's why they instituted a need for an inspection, because people take advantage of the buyers in these cases. Okay, either way, these are some examples we find in Gneivas Das. Let's move now to Mari Makom number 14. Ramosha dealing with a tshuva. Never come across this at all, but I would imagine this happens. That b'inyan nachri shirotel sheyikvalo hamaschir mezuzah bepischa. Nanji wants a mezuzah. He knows the Jews are successful. The Jews have a very wonderful families and life. So it must be that mezuzah that's hanging on their door. So I want a mezuzah also, the guy says. So are you allowed to do this? You know, the halacha is you're not supposed to let a nachri have a mezuzah. He's going to even mevazeh the mezuzah. He's going to disgrace it. He's not going to properly take care of it. So are you, as a sofer, are you allowed to sell him or give him a mezuzah? That was the question. So he answers that part of the question is, Shirama, the Rama Paskins, Matir b'makom de'ikal meichash mishum eva v'shiyara mishum zel Yisrael. If you're concerned, the nachri is going to get very upset. He goes to the store to buy a mezuzah. He says, you're not Jewish, I can't sell to you. He's going to make a whole big macha. It's going to create tremendous fighting in the community. So then the Ramah says, okay, better to avoid the eva, the animosity, the fighting, sell him the mezuzah to prevent anything bad from happening. So now he asks further, and Ramosh is going to address this, could you sell him a fake mezuzah, a pasul mezuzah? Maybe that's better. So he says... that's very good. That's his answer. Very good. That's exactly his answer. So he says, if you read inside number 14, the second paragraph, Masha shalta ulai yikfalo mezuzah pasula gim et pasul mezuzah pashut she'aser. It's so clear that this is prohibited. Kim mefurish bechulin daf tadidal that we start off with, that when you sell, he asks for a kosher piece of meat, so you can't give him a treif piece of meat. That's an iser of Gneivas Das. Da nachri ha'mevakish mimenu mezuzah l'kvo bepesach kimo she'osin Yisrael. He wanted an identical mezuzah to that which the Jews hang up. I want the same mezuzah on my doorpost. But Kadosh Baruch Hu shomram shirak mezuzah ksheira. And Kadosh Baruch Hu only protects if it's a kosher mezuzah. So I want the same shmira. I want the same kosher mezuzah. And for that reason, Ramosha Paskin, that you would have to sell him a kosher mezuzah.
You'd have to give him the best.
Depends what he pays for it. If he's paying $150, you give him the best. If he's paying $50, you give him a bedieved one. It all depends. You give him the same exact price list that everybody else gets. That's the din. Yeah, I don't know how common this is, but apparently it has come up. Fine. Now, Chuvas Rav Vosner has a shaila, and we'll finish with this, and then we'll go. I'll tell you some interesting things from this nice book I read. That Rav Vosner has a situation of a person's collecting money for tzedakah, and he writes, "Asher shal kishneke begabay tzedakah sheosif maos avur tamal chacham gadol shibu mitzuka gadola." The guy is trying to raise money for a tamal chacham who needs a lot of money. Vishal, he asked, "Imuter lo lomar sheosif avur aknasas kala kadesh kabel yoser." Apparently, people, and certainly in many communities, they're more inclined to pay money to a Hachnasas Kala than to a Talmud Chacham sitting in Kolo. So if I come to Woodmere and ask for money for a guy in a Kolo, he won't give me any money. But there's this young Yisoma, an orphan, who has no money for her Chasna, that they'll give a lot of money for. So can I portray it in such a way that they'll give money, and then I'm collecting for this nice girl, she needs $50,000. I'll collect $100,000 and use the other 50 for the Talmud Chacham. But presented as all Hachnasas Kala. Is that permitted? So he writes, Lanias Daiti, the Mutter, Lashanos, Raka Davar. You're permitted to Lashanos. There's a halacha, when you collect money for tzedakah, are you allowed to change it for different purposes? So if there is surplus, you are allowed to change it for a different need. That's permitted. If I collected it all for Hachnasas Kala, that was the real, genuine reason, and I got a nice amount of money for it, then the surplus I could use for something else. But he writes, Raka Hadavar, Safek Biyadi, I'm not sure. In Mutter Lahatos, it's Chavero. I'm not sure if you could trick the guy in the first place, Shagova Lachnasas Kala, and Avalim Kvar Gafa, that I'm collecting for this way. But if you already collected, again, the surplus can be used for it, but to present it as Hachnasas Kala when you know half is going to the Talmud Chacham, that he's not sure about. He doesn't say it's Vale Aser, but he's not sure about that. So that's the last case. So we see that it comes up in many different areas, this Isser of Gnevas Das.
How does he portray it?
He doesn't have an answer. He's mistopic. He doesn't know what to do.
So how does he?
Lemaisa, it would seem that a person should be honest and collect for Hachnasas Kala, and then and nothing more than that. If a person happens to really collect for Hachnasas Kala and he gets more than he needs to, then after the fact, you can use the money for some other purpose. But to know in the beginning that you're collecting a 50-50 and not present it that way, he's not sure. He's not saying it's a sir, but he says he's not sure.
Yeah. Hired someone to collect stuff from the institution, so it will give you like 20% or 50%. And the guy giving it, he thinks 100% going to the institution, but half is going to the guy collecting.
Right. So, it's a good question. They talk about this in giving tzedakah when they have people collecting in the shuls during minyanim, and there's a driver outside, so he takes a certain cut. So I think by now most people know that some of the money is going to the driver. So you're aware of what's going on. That also might be some level of tzedakah. He's a driver, that's his parnasa. Tzedakah, I don't know. But people are aware of it, that 80% is going to the ani, or 20% is going to the driver, whatever the breakdown might be. People are aware of that. But if you're not aware of that, so then maybe it's something that should be mentioned, that, you know, there's a 20%, there's an overhead that we're paying, it should be presented.
One more.
The Sefer Chasidim, thank you. Sefer Chasidim, this is very Nogei L'maisa. Again, this is a part of a larger topic, but one other area where this does come up of Gnevas Das is Shiduchim. The area of Shiduchim, what you can, should mention about a potential Shidduch. So Sefer Chasidim dealt with the Shaila number 16, Lo Yichase Odom Mum B'nei Beisa. A person should not hide any of the blemish that someone in his family might have. Im Tzrichim Banav O Krovav Lisdaveg, if they need to have a Shidduch. Im Yeshlam Choli, if there's a certain illness, Sheilu hayu yodim or something, have they aware of it? Hamizdavgin imaim, those who are making the shidduch, also choli, how they know that that illness, lo hayu mizdavgin, they wouldn't make such a shidduch. Yigal lehem, they have to tell them what the situation is. Pen yomu kedusha taos hayu, maybe they're going to say to kedusha taos. So to be very, very, very careful about what should, what could, and be exposed about a potential shidduch. It's a very hard parsha, obviously. Anyway, so these are, again, a wide range of applications of Gnevas Das. So let's just, I'm going to finish off here, going back to our question of, you know, you're going for an interview, and you know you're going to be missing many days of Yontif, Sukkot, and Pesach, and Purim, and Shavuos, and also you're going to be leaving early every Friday as well. At what point, if at all, do you have to let them know? So this is a very nice book, Rabbi Ari Wasserman. It's called Making It Work. A very nice book, an English book. He worked very successfully, apparently. He lived in L.A., gave a bunch of shiurim, and now he lives in Eretz Yisrael and teaches in Eish HaTorah. So he put together this very nice book, very easy read. Marmar Komos, very nice stories. He has obviously a lot of exposure in the business world, so he has that nice balance of both working and learning and teaching. So he writes his three types of categories, what he mentions of when and how to tell about a person's restrictions of working. So I'm going to just read inside here. For the last few minutes here, the business category number one, no need to raise the issue. If a business or office already employs Orthodox Jews and is presumably accommodating them, so working there should not be a problem, and there's no point in raising the topic at the interview. They know it's a place that many Jews, an accounting firm, plenty of yarmulkes there. You walk in with a yarmulke, so they know the rules. There's nothing to let them know. Mm-hmm. Not true? Not all accounting firms?
Just an example, right? There may work as Jews and accounting firms. Some do shave during
school. So that becomes, that's another shiloh. The inconsistencies. That inconsistency, that's very hard. Yeah.
And it's,
I see you must have shaved last week because it would have been much thicker for you. Okay. Also, if the job applicant arrives at the interview wearing a kippah, or if it's reasonably obvious from his resume that he is observant, there should be no need to specifically mention at the interview that he's Orthodox. So that's clear. Even without explicitly saying I'm Jewish, I'm from, once he knows that you're from and there are other from people working there, then there's no need, according to his understanding, to mention it. That's already obvious, and that's there's awareness. Category number two. Number two, he says, raise the issue when offered the job. Not at the interview, but when you're offered the job, then you should mention it. So who falls under this category? So he writes that a firm may not be familiar with the requirements of Orthodox Jews, but be large enough to allow for flexibility in scheduling. So you might be the first firm person in this place, but it's a huge firm of, 1,000 employees. So your absence here and there won't really affect their function. So in such a situation, he says, in this case, it's better to be upfront about being Orthodox, but this need not be at the interview. You can wait until there's a job offer. And at that stage, disclosure and discussion is called for. Unless the job directly involves tasting food, keeping kosher should not matter to the employer, but jobs in Yom Tov observance definitely could. Meaning he doesn't care what you eat. You don't have to tell a guy I don't eat shrimp. It doesn't make a difference to any, unless there's something related that you have to always go out to a shrimp place on Thursday nights as part of the committee here. If that's not necessary, then you have to share with him your kosher restrictions. Everybody has kosher restrictions. Now, the third category, and then we'll stop with here, is category number three, is no point in interview. What does that mean? So some places of employment will not be able to accommodate Shabbos and Yom Tov. For example, a small firm of five guys working together, they're hiring a sixth guy. So a small firm with very limited staff where switching hours with the coworker is not a realistic option, or businesses with a 7-day work week. So neither of these allows for flexibility in scheduling, and one should not interview even at such firms to begin with. Or at least on the interview, be upfront that I can't come to work. I need to leave at 2:00 every Friday or so. That you have to be upfront. So these are the three types of categories. Again, these are not halachas. These are recommendations based on his experience in talking to other people as to when a person should let them know as to avoid the Isser Gnevas Das, and of course to avoid the Isser of Chil Hashem as well. Okay, we'll stop here. Next week in Mir Toshem, we're going to discuss drinking with employees and non-Jews, which includes alcohol and perhaps even going out to drink coffee with non-Jews.